Now's a good time to remember where the story of tequila started. In 1795, the first tequila distillery was opened by the Cuervo family. And 229 years later, Cuervo is still going strong. Family owned from the start. Same family, same land. Now's a good time to enjoy Cuervo, the tequila that invented tequila. Go to Cuervo.com to shop tequila or visit a store near you. Cuervo, now's a good time.
Trademarks owned by Beckley SAB to CV 2024 Proximo, Jersey City, New Jersey. Please drink responsibly.
You're listening to DraftKings Network.
The John Anik and Kenny Florian podcast. John Anik and Kenny Florian.
I love them. I can't get enough of them.
Let's hear that Boston next.
Big jab there from Duffy and Frank Mir is hurt now. Down goes Duffy out cold. Frank Mir does it again. Rock'em sock'em robots here. Oh my goodness.
Hyperbole. They're a couple of absolutely self-involved bull artists.
Here are your hosts, John Anik and Kenny Florian.
Well, how about this? We made it to 400 episodes. Ken Flo, not much of a betting man, incidentally, but I would think your ticket might have been on us not getting to episode 400 of the Anik and Florian podcast. It is Monday, April 3rd. The year is 2023. I remember when we began this show in Los Angeles, TJ DeSantis at the helm 8 years ago, April of 2015, and still going, kid. We're still fucking going.
Absolutely, man. Listen, I'm a believer. I'm an optimist. Of course, I thought we would do 400 episodes. And more than anything else, you know, when I wanted to commit to doing the podcast, it was something that I wanted to commit to, like, you know, indefinitely. So, you know, once I figured it out that I would be able to do that, I knew we would be going a long time, man. So I'm so happy I did. It's been a fun ride so far.
We are so appreciative of this listenership that has evolved to a viewership. And if you're watching us on DraftKings YouTube channel, we certainly appreciate that support. We appreciate everybody that supports the AF channel, which we will continue to grow, of course, with Bilal Muhammad and Jason Anik hosting Remember the Show. More offerings to come. But this has been such a great, I don't know if symbiotic's the word. There's certain words in the English language that seem pretty simple, like narcissistic. You'll never hear me use it. I'm afraid I'm going to get it wrong. But a symbiotic relationship between us and the listeners. Nothing makes me happier than when I come across an Anik and Florian podcast listener or viewer on the road. And we really appreciate the support, because I'd imagine there were times when maybe Ken Flo and I, as we're going from Fox out of that licensing deal, trying to figure out the next step and getting Longo to continue to be on board for like 395 of these episodes. We're very happy, obviously, to still be here. And candidly, when we started this thing in 2015, there were people then who said, too many podcasts out there. Too many podcasts out there. And I didn't necessarily disagree with that sentiment at the time, but here we are 8 years later. And I recommend to people trying to get into media, start a podcast. Even if your mom's the only one listening, if you're trying to get repetitions, it's a pretty good way to do it. But we thank you, Ken Flo, for all of your analytics and all of your support. And just for being here for me, you know, as a friend more than anything else over the last 8 years, every Monday. All right. A lot to get to. So dude, your travel schedule, right? I mean, forget fatherhood with what you've been doing over the last several weeks and months. So home from Vegas, and you're going right back for PFL 2 on Wednesday. Is that right?
That's right. Two more weeks, man. Two more weeks. So in and out here for a few days and back out for a few days.
So you have a Friday night show coming up this weekend. Is that accurate?
Correct.
All right. Are you allowed to reveal where you stayed this past week for PFL 1?
Yeah, I was at the Link.
Okay. Look at this guy. It's fucking Link. Yeah. And then the fights at the Virgin, right?
Yes,
fights at the Virgin. So we're going to get into all of that. Did you ingest any of the Game Bread boxing pay-per-view over the weekend by chance?
I did not. I saw some of the results. Pretty interesting.
Yeah, I saw some of the highlights and the results. I was fighting it hard. I was watching on UFC Fight Pass and just fighting it hard. 11-18, I was out. But congratulations to Anthony Showtime Pettis. Vitor Belfort with a big win over Jacare Souza. And above all else, good on Jorge Gamebred Masvidal. Card was so loaded on paper that initially when it was offered on April 1st, a lot of people thought it was an April Fool's joke. And then Masvidal had his fight April 8th, so you didn't think he could be there. Right. And I don't believe he was, but big things coming up for the King of Miami this weekend at UFC 287. We'll focus largely on UFC 287 today. Ray Longo coming up here in about 10 minutes. We will also talk to GM3 Gerald Merchart. He's fighting at UFC 287 against Joe Pyfer. And then coming up Wednesday or Thursday on this here DraftKings YouTube channel, further delve into UFC 287. And I think 7 predictions from Ken Flo and big gun Brian Petrie. But let us get into to PFL 1. Brendan Loughnane, you heard him last week on the Anakin Florian podcast. No Anakin Florian podcast curse whatsoever. He gets by Marlon Moraes TKO due to leg kicks at 111 of round 2. And one thing I did not get to with Loughnane last week, I believe Marlon Moraes was going into this fight, God love the guy, but he had been finished, TKO'd or knocked out in 5 consecutive fights, and it's now 6, juxtaposed against Brendan Loughnane, who's never even been finished as a mixed martial arts pro. Lot of red stripes, and I'm not talking about the beer on the Wikipedia page of Marlon Moraes. Big win for Loughnane at PFL 1, and you were there to call every goddamn second of it, so why don't you tell us what you saw?
Yeah, absolutely. Loughnane is an absolute assassin, man. You know, here's the thing. Marlon Moraes, it certainly isn't what he used to be, but he's always dangerous early on. And it seemed to me like he was way more careful about pacing himself in this fight. He was very calculated about how he went in and went out. And he was fighting a pretty good fight until Loughnane started firing back with calf kicks. And it was probably 2, maybe 3 that really impeded Marlon Moraes' ability to move around that cage. And from there, it was pretty much over. Loughnane keyed in on that, saw that that was weakening him, and just kept firing away. I thought they were going to stop it in between rounds. It looked like, you know, a bunch of people were coming over, doctors, cornermen, asking him. There was discussion happening. He said he wanted to go out and fight. And Loughnane, you know, just took full advantage of that compromised leg. Actually, he switched up his leg and started destroying the other leg. It was just nasty, man. Loughnane is just a killer out there. So, yeah, amazing performance by him, and unfortunate there for Moraes, who's been on quite the skid.
Marlon Moraes said on social media after the fact, watch the first round of my next fight. So I am not in the business of retiring fighters, as you know, but perhaps that next PFL fight for Marlon Moraes will be the last, or at the very least, just going to go balls to the wall, which has been his style for much of his career. So what exactly does this mean in terms of this featherweight tournament? Yes. I'm not trying to sound ignorant when I ask that question, but obviously Movlid Khabulayev had a big win, albeit by unanimous decision, 30-27 across the board on this same night. Seems like maybe those two are on another collision course, but ultimately, what does this mean for June 8th and the PFL featherweight division now moving forward?
Yeah, definitely. Bubba Jenkins is another guy who was in there that looked phenomenal that night. You know, basically, it's a lot of those guys getting decision wins, and Brendan Loughnane now at the top of the heap with 5 points. You know, if you get a win by decision, you get 3 points. If you get a win by finish in round 3, you get 4. Win by finish in round 2, you get 5. Win by finish in round 1, 6 points, right? So you're trying to accumulate as many points as you can during the regular season, which is comprises of 2 fights, so you can move into the postseason and get a nice seed. So Loughnane right now sitting atop the featherweight division with 5 points. Everyone else has 3 points. And, you know, I thought it did a great job of separating himself from the pack, not only with his performance, but also with what he said on the mic, kind of made fun of everybody else going to decision. Right. So he made, you know, great work both on and off the, well, I guess in the cage and still in the cage.
Yeah, right. So PFL format probably would have been kind to a prime Kenny Florian, right? The I finish fights guy, right? Get in, get out.
Yeah. Finish fights.
Yeah. I'm just seeing Cody populated something in the chat on the inaugural edition of the John Anakin Kenny Florian podcast. The guys are joined by MMA trainer Ray Longo, Seattle Seahawk Will Blackman, and MMA journalist John Morgan. We also took a look back at UFC Fight Night Mendez versus Lamas and looked ahead at this weekend's showdown between Gabriel Gonzaga and Mirko Krokop. We also took listener fucking phone calls. How about that?
Wow.
866 Ray Longo. We should get back to that.
That would be hilarious.
It is amazing. And if you are someone who has not been on board for the entire 8 years, we still have a lot of respect and love for you. But we wanted to have a coaches segment, and we centered on Ray Longo back in the day. And it's pretty cool to be here 8 years later, given the fact that he's probably been a part of 390 plus of those 400 episodes. But back to the PFL. Yeah, you mentioned Bubba Jenkins over Chris Wade. This was a rematch, and gosh, it seemed like Jenkins just had his way with Wade really throughout. I think very highly of the New Yorker Wade, but this was not his night.
It was not his night. Bubba Jenkins was just on point with his strikes. That those were really setting up his entries, which were much, much cleaner than the first time around. And Bubba Jenkins is just firing on all cylinders, man. He looked very motivated. He was talking a lot of trash leading up to this one, but he executed beautifully. His wrestling, his control was just a thing of beauty out there. Stayed really active and just kept Chris Wade off balance, it seemed, all night.
All right, so we will keep our tabs and our eyes on the PFL featherweight division. I'd like to talk about Mr. Rob Wilkinson. You got to love this guy, right? I mean, it is not just women who like these accents, folks. Somebody said recently that women like Boston accents. I did not necessarily think that was the case, but we can fucking turn that on. If it turns you on, we'll fucking turn it on. So Rob Wilkinson over Thiago Santos by unanimous decision, 29-28 times three. For me, from afar, it's really been cool to watch the evolution of Rob Wilkinson, and you've had a front row seat.
You're on fire today, dude. I love it. Rob Wilkinson is an absolute beast. I was really surprised when they had their stare down for the weigh-ins of how big he is. You know, Thiago Santos was always seen as this monster. Rob Wilkinson looked even bigger. On fight night, Santos did look a little bigger to me. And also, even his shots, you know, Thiago Santos, even with little rabbit shots, it looks like he's capable of knocking you out. You know, it's crazy. And I thought we saw Santos who really was letting his hands go. Sometimes he's a little hesitant out there. I didn't see that same hesitancy, which makes Rob Wilkinson's performance over him that much more impressive. Now, we saw Rob Wilkinson utilize his grappling in this one. He did trade a little bit with Santos, but more it was to get to the clinch or get to the legs and hit those takedowns. He was able to do that repeatedly against Santos. He was able to control him. He was winning the critical rounds. He just seemed like he was always a step ahead of Santos, was smart to avoid some dangerous situations against Santos. At least in my eye, from what I saw, it looked like Santos was looking a little bit sharper, like he was really looking to try to let those hands go, especially that left kick, what seemed to be back a little bit more this time around. But Wilkinson just a little bit too good at closing that distance with his timing.
And then also a light heavyweight, Will Fleury, who was to fight Omari Akhmedov, I guess, instead fought Chris Jotko, the UFC veteran. Split decision for Will Fleury, and Poland's Jotko seemed pissed.
Yeah, this was a close fight. I actually thought Jotko won the fight. I thought he did enough. It was certainly close. It's not one of those things where, oh my gosh, this was a robbery. But I thought Jotko did enough to get in and get out, score points, and win that fight. I thought Will Fleury had a strong third round, but yeah, it was a real close one. It was a little bit of a head scratcher. Both Randy thought it was a win for Jotko as well. Our AI scoring had it for Will Fleury. So I don't know. It was certainly close, but I don't know. Jotko definitely was upset about it.
And then just wanted to congratulate Impa Kasanganai. He will break your hand if you try to shake hands with that man. I run into him every time I go out in South Florida. I see that man. I saw him at Dick's Sporting Goods a few weeks before his PFL Challenger Series fights, and a nice 2023 continues for a good dude there in Impa Kasanganai. So 11 great fights dude at PFL 1. So what's your call time? Like, what time do they pick you up at this beautiful Link Hotel?
Well, I got picked up at like 11
a.m.
Yeah.
And then what time you get off the sticks?
So we got off at 9:30, something like that.
See, man, these marathons, it's unbelievable. I know you do a lot of different television things, battle bots, and that's very intensive in its own right. But people just don't understand. Once you start hitting 12, 13, 14, 15 fights, man, it is just insane. I get asked about it all the time. And, I think
it's tough, dude.
Yeah, I think, we both sort of build up whatever conditioning you need to sort of still have something late in the night. But I will always remember Craig Borsari said to us before that first show in Nashville, fights get bigger as the night goes along. So you got to have room in your register. Right. And then like first prelim, I'm like, oh, Nick Denis, man, fucking Nick Denis. And then it's like, dude, you got to chill. You got to chill. Well, this Saturday, I will not be chilling out because the action-packed UFC 287 fight card beckons, and it finishes with an epic rematch. Longtime combat sports rivals Alex Pereira and Israel Adesanya set to face off again for the UFC middleweight title. And you can throw down for your shot to win big with DraftKings Sportsbook, the official sports betting partner of UFC. And how good is this for new customers? You bet just $5 on a pre-fight money line, get $150 in bonus bets if your fighter wins. And if you've been with DraftKings Sportsbook prior, all customers can get closer to the Octagon excitement with DraftKings Same Game Parlays. You just combine multiple UFC 287 bets into one ticket for a shot at an even bigger payday. And as usual, with a pay-per-view like this, a lot of ways to attack the board. I mean, how good is this co-main event? Jorge Masvidal, the King of Miami, but pretty big as an underdog here against Gilbert Gerinho Burns. And can Alex Pereira, as a slight underdog, solve the last style bender once again? We'll find out this weekend, and we want you involved. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now. Use code AFPOD. New customers bet just $5 on a pre-fight money line and get $150 in bonus bets if your fighter wins this Saturday at DraftKings Sportsbook with code AFPOD. Minimum age and eligibility restrictions apply. See show notes for details. All right. Ken Flo, not the only one back from the West Coast as far as our AF family is concerned. Let's get to the Ray Longo Minute.
Tired of snooty wines and their old wine culture? Confused by words like malolactic fermentation? Yeah, we are too. So with 19 Crimes, you can do the fancy schmancy tilt sip smell routine, or don't. 19 Crimes is the rebel of wine and culture, telling the stories of rogues and rule breakers who overcame adversities. From convicts banished to Australia to the legendary icon Snoop Dogg himself, 19 Crimes wine is defiant by nature, bold in character, and always uncompromising. 19 Crimes, the official wine of UFC. Pick up in stores nationwide or online at 19crimes.com. Enjoy responsibly. 2024, Sonoma, California.
It's now time for the Ray Longo Minute.
I want you to punch a hole in this fucking chest. That's what I want.
The Ray Longo Minute. John Anik and Kenny Florian podcast.
There they are.
There he is, more like it. Yeah. Front and center, Ray Longo. So man, much handsome.
I'm actually centered today. Very nice.
You sound great. We were reminiscing before you came on because this is essentially the 8-year anniversary of the show. And Cody went back and found the description from episode 1, April 9th, 2015. And sure as shit, there you were, episode 1. We have speculated, our informed speculation suggests that you have been here for 390 or more of the 400 episodes. So we wanted to start by expressing our gratitude.
Oh, man. God, my gratitude is towards you guys. But, man, it seems like yesterday, no, Kenny?
That's crazy.
With everything, kind of. But this is 8 years. That's insane.
Amazing.
That is insane. But congrats to you guys for keeping it going. It's awesome, man. I'm glad to be a part of it. And, man, I just hope the next 8 years goes a little slower.
That's
if you know what I'm talking about. Yeah, so, I'd give anything to be here another 8 years.
Right?
Yeah. No, I mean, I tell my mom all the time, you're going to be around a lot longer than you think. You better prepare for another 35, 40 years. Right? So speaking of ageism, how did the West Coast back and forth treat the body there, Ray?
Man, this one was rough. I was in and out, a rough night. Justin Montalvo has first lost against Archie Colgan. Great kid. I mean, I thought it was a great fight. You know, I'm biased, but I wish it could have made it into the second round because it was just heating up to be just a back and forth battle. It was good. I honestly, it's like there's no winners or losers in a fight like that. I think Archie's got a great future. He's a stud. And I think Justin bounces back and goes on another run, and hopefully they'll meet again in the future.
Maybe we got to get Justin on the program because we're going to have Gerald Mershart on the show later today. And by that reasoning, he'll probably upset Joe Pyfer this weekend. It seems like when we have athletes on, they do pretty well. Brendan Lochname with a win last week. So you did have some winners, though, Raymond. Mantello.
Yeah.
And also, who else we got
Anthony
here?
Anthony Dilemme. Both guys got knocked down and came back to finish the fight.
Oh, wow.
Nice.
And
I believe in the first round, Dilemme knocked his guy out after getting knocked down, and Dylan got knocked out and choked his guy out with 2 seconds left in the first round. Literally at the end, crazy. Crazy, crazy fights, heart attack fights for sure. But the guys showed a will and resolve, just a great bunch of guys. You know, again, they love what they're doing. And, you know, I hope they go as far as they can go. But it was a great weekend for the team, even though, you know, the loss to Justin was he took it pretty hard. So, but I'm sure he's bouncing right back from that. And, you know, if you have to lose, that's, you know, it was good. You should watch the fight. He got rocked a little bit at the beginning, came back, and then Archie caught him again, kind of more of a flash knockdown, but then finished it like on the floor where, you know, whatever. I thought, you know, he was still moving. I think if we had Peterson in there, the fight's still going on, but you can't argue the stoppage at all. It was a great, great fight by Archie. It was just
Keith Peterson 2.0 with that.
It was two undefeated guys that probably I would have liked to have seen that fight maybe in a couple of more fights. You know, Justin came off a year, maybe a more layoff with his arm. So he did great, both guys, but it was good. It was, I just wanted to see more of it because it was that type of fight.
I hate to pry, but when you say he took it hard, is there something specific that he either said or some just mood or vibe he was evoking after the fact, right? Because if we say Israel Adesanya took that Alex Pereira loss exceedingly well, and it sounds like your guy obviously is going to take this well moving forward, but why did he take it so hard, if you don't mind my asking?
I think it was his first loss, so he, you know, he was emotional, and like, again, now you got to see if you could regroup and come back. You know, that's one win or loss doesn't make a champion. And, you know, in this game, for sure. I mean, you just got to keep growing from your losses and moving forward. And, you know, nobody, or it's rare, you know, like the Khabibs and the John Joneses that get there without a loss. But, you know, even there's always some controversy attached to something. But, you know, it's part of the game. It's just, you know, and I know it's a cliche, but it was a great fight.
So those latter two fights, the wins, are you like watching on your cell phone? I mean, take us behind the curtain.
Because Dilemi fought the same night as the kid, but there was a time difference, so I got to see his whole fight. And then I was on the plane for Dylan's fight, but I was getting texts, and then I just went back and watched the highlights. So I didn't even see they were both first-round finishes, so I didn't see – I saw Dilemi's whole fight, and I didn't see – I saw the highlights of Dylan Montello's fight, so –
All right, so I have some stuff for you on UFC 287, and then Ken Flo, obviously, chime in at any time. 18-year-old Raul Rosas Jr. is fighting for the second time this weekend at UFC 287. Now, we've had 18-year-olds in the UFC before, a handful of them. Dan Lozon comes to mind. But I don't know, Kenny and Ray, that we've had an 18-year-old come in and potentially compete twice before birthday number 19 and win both of those fights. He's favored to beat Christian Rodriguez this weekend. A lot of the MMA world had their minds effectively blown when he disposed of Jay Perrin in his UFC debut. I mean, what are your thoughts on this 18-year-old now kicking off the pay-per-view main card as the UFC returns to Miami for the first time in 20 years?
I mean, it's crazy. For a young kid, you know, as long as he doesn't buy into the, you know, main card stuff, and, you know, he's already got the UFC jitters out. He's got two fights. I say he wins that fight. I think this kid beat one of my guys a couple of years ago. So I think Rosas is probably going to win this fight if it's the right guy I'm thinking about. But what a great spot to be in as a young kid, you know, starting off a pay-per-view card with that, you know, with the headliners that's on that card is crazy. So good for him, man. I hope he enjoys it. I hope he takes it in the right way. He doesn't let it affect his performance, and he'll be fine.
Yeah, it's impressive, man. You know, you just don't see it a whole lot, an 18-year-old in the UFC. I think he's kind of part of this newer generation, though, where he really came up training in the sport for much longer than some of the other guys that we've seen. So I think he's more better suited to kind of do well here. And I think he's taking the right fights. Although I think Christian Rodriguez is pretty good. You know, I do think these are good fights for him and the right kind of fights for him.
Yes.
But mentally tough, you know, he's got that. As far as maturity, I think he's got that as well. As far as, you know, how he trains, how professional he is. I'm curious to see how he does.
Dan, Jay Perrin was a great test, man. I think he's a great kid, man. I think that was a great win for him. So, you know.
And to Kenny's point, Raul Rosas is minus 225. So it's not as though he is some massive betting favorite this weekend. There's a lot of people, especially in that Midwestern pocket, that think very highly of Christian Rodriguez. All right. Kenny's going to have to save a lot of his bullets on Alex Pereira and Israel Adesanya for later in the week. You don't, though. So I want to talk to you about this main event, because when these two fought last year with a Madison Square Garden backdrop, I don't know if it was reflective in the pay-per-view numbers, but I just cannot remember fan excitement on that level, right? I just think fans were so excited, given the kickboxing history, to see these guys in MMA. And now, given the way that fight played out with a Miami backdrop now, I just think it's the perfect setting for this rematch. And I want to know what you think about all of that and what you think ultimately is going to happen this weekend at Miami Dade Arena.
Yeah, look, man, this is crazy stuff. But I think, look, I give Izzy all the credit in the world, man. Coming back, I mean, you know, he's lost three times to the guy, won in MMA, twice in kickboxing. I think he should have taken a little more time off. You know, I think that's, it's hard to come back that short of time, because it wasn't like he didn't take any damage. Those, this guy hits like a freight train, man. So what was the fight, 4 months ago, maybe something like that?
November.
Yeah, so that's a pretty quick turnaround. But, you know, remember in the first fight he had, you know, Alex rocked in the first round too, so I don't know, man. It's like whoever gets there first is going to win. But I think it's hard. We saw it with Usman and Leon Edwards. There's just, it's not easy to come back and win those fights. So I'm going to have to go with Alex on this one. And he certainly has the power. He looks like a complete monster. He looks like he's dialed in constantly. but he's a scary
right
dude.
Right about that. Oh,
yeah,
man.
I mean, if Izzy doesn't... It's so risky to stand up with him, because his power is, it's beyond normal power. You know what I mean? That guy's got bricks in his hand, and that's a great quality to have. Obviously, the wrestling looked horrendous with the jiu-jitsu, so I think it's easier to try to tighten that up in 4 months than it is to get your chin back to normal. So I don't know. It's a risky move, but we'll see. I think Alex takes it again. I think he's got this guy's number, and sometimes that's all it takes.
Ray, how do you break down the Gilbert Burns and Jorge Masvidal fight?
Man, I'll tell you, you know, again, I think, look, Jorge was always one of my favorite fighters. I mean, he just had a promotion, right? Didn't he just promote kickbox? I see him on Rogan. It just doesn't look like he's... It looks like he's doing some PR. He's got a lot of things on his plate. You know, he's made some money. You know, he's in a different spot than he was when he was coming up. I don't know if he's as hungry as he was. I think, you know, he was always one of my favorite fighters. I love the guy, the way the guy fights. But I think Burns is going to take this, because it's just from the outside, and I have no idea. It just doesn't look like he's dialed in. And I mean, that was a big promotion he put on. Whether he was there or he wasn't there, that's a lot of responsibility, unless he delegated that whole thing to somebody, which he probably did. But it's still taxing on your brain when you should be focused on just fighting. And, you know, me, I like to just 8 weeks, leave everything out. Don't go to the freaking hockey game. Yeah, just concentrate on the fighting. There's plenty of time for everything else. So it depends on where he's at. He's a born natural fighter. He'll always have that going for him. But you still got to put the work in at this level. I hope he did. But I just feel like by looking at him, you know, he's got the court case with Kobe, right? Is that still a thing? Or
yes.
He got old? You know, there's a million things going on, man. You can't have your brain in 15 different places. So not for a technical reason, but for that reason, I'm going to pick Burns on that fight.
And it's interesting to hear you inject that into the conversation, because I think Jorge will be dismissive of that when we talk about that in the fighter meeting. But you're right. It's energy expenditure. Even doing a social media post for Game Bread Boxing, Kenny and I can attest to this. If you don't get it on the first take, right, all of a sudden you're five takes in, you know, it's brought to you by DraftKings Sportsbook, and you're bleeding out your lungs and everything else. You know, it's a difficult thing to manage your energy during fight week, never mind over those 8 weeks. Now, he lives somewhat of a rock star lifestyle, and seemingly in South Florida, everybody wants a piece of him all the time. So perhaps he's more conditioned to that than your average UFC athlete. But I think you're wise to sort of bring that into your handicap, you know?
Yeah, I mean, look, he's a natural born fighter, but that's a kid that I believe came from nothing. You know what I mean? And then when you have something, something has to change, man. It's hard to keep that focus and that desire and that, you know, just to get in the gym and grind it out every day. And sometimes your brain is saying it, but it's, and you might believe it, but people around you might go, you're not doing what you used to do. You know right. what I mean? It's just, you know, I've dealt with a lot of fighters. I hear a lot of things, and sometimes you just try to get them through it and agree with them, but you know, it's just not the case. So I hope I'm wrong, but I don't know. We'll see. I'm going to pick Gilbert Burns in that. I think he's just been looking better and better, and you know, his confidence is boosted all time high. Even his fight with Khamzat was a great fight. He wasn't supposed to even be in that fight. You know what I mean? That was a great fight. So I think he takes a lot of that and moves forward. And, you know, I think he's catching Jorge at the right time.
They're both dogs. I mean, if ever you were going to get a desperate, urgent type effort out of Jorge Masvidal, you got to think that it's going to be now against Gilbert Burns, given all that potentially could be at stake. We'll see.
Wait, what are the odds on that fight, John?
You wouldn't even believe it. I mean, I've never been so wrong in terms of my projection on a fight in my life. I thought Gilbert would be minus 220, I think. He's almost minus 500. Now, 52% of the handle right now on DraftKings Sportsbook has been on Jorge Masvidal, 48% of the money coming in on Gilbert Durinho Burns. But we've seen steady movement. People are still playing Gilbert in parlays or otherwise at a massive price, minus 490 right now.
Wow. That's crazy. I mean, maybe they know something we just talked about. Something's up. That's a huge spread, man.
Well, we've seen Gilbert manhandle guys, most recently Neil Magny. We've also heard Gilbert verbally talk about getting back to his Brazilian jiu-jitsu roots and try to make this almost a tournament style fight, Kenny, right? If you're Gilbert Burns, like, I know Jorge Masvidal is a Brazilian jiu-jitsu black belt, but I don't know that you want to, you know, fuck around and find out on the feet necessarily, even though you could beat him in a kickboxing setting. Like, if you're Gilbert Burns, Kenny, don't you maybe approach this as a tournament style fight? Like, try to take the dude down and choke him out. Like, what are we doing here?
Yeah, I would think so. I think so. I mean, that's going to be his easiest path to victory, right? No question about it. Can he do that? I don't know. You know, it's going to be interesting. I think that's going to be the key for him for sure.
All right, a couple other things I would like to get to with the great Raymond Peter Longo. Rob Font, Adrian Yanez, a huge bantamweight fight feature bout on pay-per-view coming up in Miami, and one that I know you got the number one and number two guys in the division, so sorry to talk about these guys ranked below you, but I know you guys at least have some history with Adrian Yanez, I believe, in Garden City, New York. Yeah, so 100%. Talk to me.
Great, great kid. I pick Yanez to win that fight. I'm going to say by TKO.
Is that all you have for us on that before I give you the betting line?
What is the betting line on that one?
Would you like to get predictive for us? Who do you think is the betting favorite?
Yanez has to be the betting favorite.
Yeah, Adrian Yanez is the betting favorite. Hasn't lost in the UFC. He's minus 180. $180, pay $100.
That's not bad. That's a good bet. I like Yanez, man. He's a great kid, young kid, really great hands. I don't know. He's going to be tough to stop. I'll be honest with you. Font's got a great jab. He's got great boxing. It's definitely going to be a great fight. I'm really looking forward to that fight. It's just, I think youth over age is going to be the problem with this one. That's just a young Yanez. If you don't jump on him from the beginning, he just gets better and better as the fight goes on. He always seems to maybe, you know, as he's getting a read on you in the first round, take some punishment. But man, when he comes back, he's got great killer instinct. He's precise with his punching. He's not letting you off the hook.
So the countdown is on for Aljamain Sterling. We got about 4 or 5 weeks. Henry Cejudo, the Prudential Center. They still call it that in Newark, New Jersey, I'm sure.
I believe so.
So, I mean, what can you tell us? Is Aljo back in Las Vegas where the sun shines all the time, or is he still with you there in New York?
Well, he was here for a week, and man, he had great sparring with great energy in the gym with him and Marab. They'll be coming back, I think, next week, I'm not sure. Right. But he did great, man. He looks fantastic. Really excited for that fight, you know. And we also got the Steamroller. I don't want to forget about him. Everybody sparred the same day. Great energy in the gym. That's why I say it was a great weekend for the team. We're just going to keep pushing forward, man.
Remind me who the Steamroller has at UFC 288. Or don't Drew, remind me. Drew, Cody no, will
Drew,
fucking remind me.
No, Drew Dover.
Oh, man. Drew Dover. That's a big fight.
That's a good one.
That's going to be chaos. That's
both
chaos
on the outskirts. Is that your dog? How many times am I going to let it whine before I inquire as to whether or not that's your dog?
Wait, hold on. I got it locked up. Nobody's home to watch.
Oh, man.
Hold on a second.
Go get your dog. Put the dog on your lap. There are two different types of dogs in journalism. You got lap dogs and attack dogs. Something I learned in broadcast journalism school, to try to be an attack dog.
Lucky.
Not a lap dog. I don't know if I realized success on that front. Matt Steamroller Frivola, by the way, throwing out the first pitch for the Mets on April 28th.
Oh, that's big.
That is big stuff.
That's cool, huh?
Bilal Muhammad, they let him
really
Chicago.
Cool.
White
cool,
Sox,
cool,
Cubs.
Cool, cool. All right, close the door. Hopefully we don't hear her.
Thank you.
She misses her master.
I don't blame her. I don't blame her.
No, these women are crazy, John. They're crazy.
They are crazy. Well, that's really all I had for you today. Now that you got your dog,
you made me get up for no reason.
No, I'm going to keep you for a couple more minutes. I have a few other things on. I'm just so excited to drive to Miami this weekend. I can't even tell you guys.
To
not get on an airplane and just drive to Miami. I don't know when I'll go. I might go fucking Wednesday night. I might fucking go Thursday morning, Kenny, before the fighter meetings. Wow. Maybe I will. Maybe I'll.
But you're staying at a hotel there, though, right? You're staying at.
Yes.
Yeah. Oh, are you going to divulge where you're staying, John?
Yep.
Do not do that, John.
No. John,
I'll even tell you where my wife and daughter are staying if Colby Covington wants to head over there.
Oh, shoot. That's what I like. Give him the address.
Let me see if I can.
Don't do it. Don't do it.
If I can find. Well, no. I mean, it's interesting because on UFC Embedded for a while, they would font the host hotel.
Right.
And then they would just say host hotel. And, yeah, I'm not going to reveal the host hotel on behalf of the 30 athletes that are competing. But if you want to find me, I'll be at the Hilton Miami downtown, most likely. So.
Wow.
But yes, no, I'm driving down either Wednesday night or maybe Thursday morning. As I said, I mean, it feels pretty freeing to know that I can just, you know, get in my car and drive down there. So
nice.
How far of a drive is it?
About 50 minutes. Maybe I'll bring the minivan and offend everyone. Everyone's offended with minivans. Kayla Harrison doesn't like minivans. Kenny, can I ask what your family
need a minivan? What are you
well,
talking
Ken Flo's
about?
Family vehicle. I'm going to get predictive here. Let me guess. Your family vehicle is a Mercedes Benz. Is that accurate?
No, I'm going to say he's got the Cadillac Escalade.
You're both wrong.
All right, so it's a Porsche Cayenne SUV for the children. Is that right?
Used to be, not anymore.
Okay.
What's a Porsche? Yeah.
All right, so
too
we have,
small.
So
small.
You have a bigger car for the family now.
Yes.
Notice how he won't tell us.
Wait, what do you got?
No, it's a BMW. It's close.
Oh my God. How pretentious.
So, and is it the X7 or is it even
it is.
Bigger? Okay.
It is.
All right. So, yeah. So the X7, I got three kids. The X7, I wanted to get an X7, three
you got
kids.
Three rows.
Not happening. It does, yeah. But, you know, yeah. They're pretty tight. You know what I'm saying?
I know. They are a little.
So, but I drive a minivan and people bang on this thing every chance they get. Right. So I will take the nicer of our two vehicles down to Miami and I won't take the minivan but I drive a minivan and my wife drives an Audi that I will take to Miami. But everybody bangs on the minivan until you press a button and both doors open. I can fit 30 bags of fucking mulch. Yeah.
Minivan's great. You can put mats in the back. You can train in the back, set up a little boxing gym, hit some pads in the back. You got plenty of room.
But you got your wife that's got Connecticut TVs. That's got Connecticut written all over it. The Audi. Wow.
Oh, really?
I don't know.
Does the Audi sound pretentious or something? A little bit.
I don't know. A little bit.
It's a very fast car.
A little bit.
The Audi's a very fast car. But I, as God is my witness, I will be driving minivans as long as I'm on this earth.
I've been
trying to do some research as to like what is the nicest minivan money can buy. And I'm not even sure what the answer is. You know, I drive a Honda Odyssey. It's not like a touring elite. It's not their elite. But I think maybe a Grand Caravan. I don't know. Is this what people signed up for on DraftKings YouTube?
Yeah, we just lost a bunch of listeners.
UFC 287 fight.
There's going to be odds on what John's next car is. That's DraftKings.
Somebody suggested, I think it was Cody, that we just take all of your predictions. We open up a DraftKings Sportsbook account. You don't have to fund it, but we'll just play on your behalf. Maybe we don't get in trouble, James Krause style, though. Maybe we don't do
Holy crow. Yeah. Am I allowed to bet? I never got anything in the mail.
Oh, you might not be allowed
to bet. That was our last episode of the Anakin Glory Podcast.
Yeah, like,
we got to 400.
Like we did. Yeah, like, it was
like
a good
the
run.
Guys on, like the guys I'm betting with, somebody's going to find out I'm betting. That doesn't even make sense to me. What do you think? I'm on DraftKings like everybody else with a with a paper trail? Did I teach you guys anything in life?
I think coaches are okay. Certainly professional athletes
okay.
can't bet.
I'm back in the game.
There you go.
Yeah.
Well, my boss, Zach Candido, suggested.
One or two bookies in Long Island. Sorry.
That my twin brother could not bet on the UFC because he's family. I was like, what? Like, I mean, yeah. I'm not sharing any inside information with the guy, but can he really not bet on the UFC?
Yeah,
because of
Kenny,
my contract.
I mean, Kenny, to your question, yeah, there's a lot of bookies on.
There's only one or two in Long Island.
No, they got there's a lot.
Yeah.
Hey, you know who reached out to me, by the way, with that whole Colby Covington thing?
Who?
My bookie.
Really?
My guy. Yep. He's ready to go.
Ready to go.
Those guys know people.
Let me tell you,
so, sure do.
John, you're in good hands. There's a million people down in Florida where you want you. I don't want to talk like a jerk off, but you got nothing to worry about.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I am going to let you fly.
All right. I'm flying.
I will tell you when you leave, the one thing, and sorry for being a little long winded on this end today. The one thing I'm going to ask Kenny about when you leave is about Adesanya's offensive wrestling and how much he expects him to go to it this weekend. So,
I mean, the only thing I'm going to say to that, I mean, look, they ended up on the floor by Alex's mistake last time, Kenny. I don't think Izzy got him down. I mean, look, that's the path to go. I mean, the problem with that is if you've been a striker your whole life and you expend extra energy and that fight stands up and you don't have like your defense like you normally have it with a guy like that, it's a risky, risky thing. You know, I think for Izzy, it's all or nothing. Even if he went at him standing up, he's got a shot at knocking him out too. You know, but you get tired with that guy unloading on you. Oof, man, nuts. But yeah, and I think that would be a nice thing to do. It's just, if you haven't been doing it though, man, it's a totally different gas tank. And I think that's the issue that I have with that. Although we're not in the camp with him, you know, maybe he's got great wrestling. Who knows, you know, but I think it's going to be a great fight. You got to be excited for that fight. No?
Oh, I can't wait. And say what the masses will about your hip, but your brain is firing on all cylinders today. That's a great answer. It really is because
I'm surprised
I think fundamentally
my hip
for Izzy.
I'm surprised my hip hasn't broken me down mentally more. It just goes back to me and Kenny's conversation. Just stop giving a shit. I don't know what it is.
And aren't you built different too, right? Aren't you one of those built different guys?
100%. I'm
built different,
shit.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm not care. Built different, so that's okay.
I don't know if that might be a stupid thing, but I think mentally I don't. Yeah, I'll fucking crawl if I have to. I'm just gonna keep doing what I'm doing.
We had a sit down with Michael Bisping on the channel last week, and on the back end, I did read a comment from YouTube from one of our viewers that has since been shared with you by our producer. Cody,
about
your hip. So did that open up anything for you in terms of what you might do or no?
No, it does. Yeah, I just, you know, the schedule has been very busy, you know, so I have to, I think I'm right. looking maybe at September, you know, get my bike riding in this summer, keep all everything right. moving, and then hope to make a move with something.
All right. Well, just know that we're all here for you financially and otherwise to help you get out the other side with this hip thing. Okay.
So. Very good. Very good.
All right. Hey, thank you.
All right, guys. Thanks. Have a great one, man. I'll see you next week, John. Keep your eyes open.
I will, buddy. Love you. Thank
keep
you for the support.
Open.
And don't be a stranger on fight night. You know, I like those long going Ken Flo texts on fight night. So
definitely will do. And Kenny, tell him awareness is the first
exactly.
key to everything. You have to look at your surroundings. Don't be there. Is this making sense 100%. To you?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Base and space. We talked about it
trust
recently as last week.
If you get a bad feeling in your gut, I just want you to run.
Thank you. I got wheels.
Take it easy. That minivan ain't going to do it. Cody's right, chasing you. Kobe's chasing you in a Maserati. You're in the minivan.
Hey, man, we can take a shot in the minivan, you know.
Very aerodynamic.
But what he doesn't know is you got five to ten guys in their arms just jumping out of that minivan, opening up.
I'm telling you. Yeah. And you know who's in the back of the minivan too?
Yep.
King of Miami.
Yeah.
Jorge Game Bread Masvidal is in the mini. So, hey, Ray, thanks, buddy. We appreciate you, man. Enjoy. Right, hey, man. What are you doing? What are you doing this weekend? You going to be watching the pay per view or what?
100%.
All right. So, no obligation. You got extra rounds, that other podcast that pays you like a tenth of what we pay you?
It's a possibility.
All right. Wish you all the best and much love. Congrats on 400 episodes. If we don't get
kids, we'll talk to you next week. Great milestone, guys. Take it easy. Enjoy the rest of the week.
See you, Ray.
Love you, buddy. There he is, Ray Longo. Oh, with us on the Anakin Florian podcast. So, Michael Bisping was on our show last week, and he suggested Adesanya may want to wrestle a little bit. And I think it's one thing to maybe instinctively or reactively wrestle, right? But to go in there with the game plan that you're going to try to wrestle and get a takedown in every round, I'm just not sure that Adesanya's mentality is rooted in that. What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, and I also agree with Ray in that that is something that could be very energy intensive for someone who has primarily been a striker, right? I definitely think he will integrate that and should integrate that. At the very least, if your opponent is more aware of your willingness to get to a clinch or hit a takedown, it sometimes shuts down your striking a little bit. And I think that's why it will have a benefit as being part of those tactics, part of the whole overall strategy for Adesanya. So, but I do think when you do that, to do that in training and doing that in a big fight, especially for the first time, and just have that be your sole strategy, can be an energy zapper. So I think Adesanya has to manage that extremely well if he is going to have that as one of his, or maybe his primary game plan. I don't think that's the case. I agree with you. You know, it's not like he can't make adjustments and win that fight with striking alone. He can't. But so can Pereira.
Yeah. And I am going to get your thoughts later in the week when we return in terms of some of the energy expenditure stuff that Ray was talking about for Jorge Masvidal, because I do think you can realize success in MMA in a lot of different ways. You know, I know, Kenny, you obviously kept it very tight. You would shut down your television schedule 6 or 8 weeks out. Then you got guys like Donald Cowboy Cerrone maybe competing twice in a 3-week span and still realizing success. So sometimes there are athletes, I think, that can thrive with a lot of noise, and others who prefer to take a different approach. All right, now joining us, and he's doing so, by the way, between training sessions, no less, 5 days out from his fight at UFC 287 against Joe Pyfer. He is GM3, Gerald Merschart. Pretty handsome dude centered up there today. GM3, it's good to see you, man. How you doing?
Hey, good to see you guys. I'm doing great. How are you guys?
We are doing well. Good. So we appreciate your time. Pretty nice layoff since your last fight. I don't know if that was by design, but the win over Bruno Silva back on August 13th of last year. So not necessarily your norm to have 8 months between fights. How has that been for you?
Not great, not bad either. I was supposed to fight in February. Something happened with the opponent just not being able to do it, and that's kind of what led to this fight. So it's, you know, I like to be more active usually, but it's also not bad to, you know, give your body a break sometimes.
Looks like we just lost visual on Gerald. There he is. So are you're in Florida right now, and then after the fight, you're going to go back to Wisconsin and then move to Florida full time. Is that right? Oh, I think you're muted, Gerald, after we got that dip. Sorry. By the way, you notice my Wisconsin hat? I know you noticed that. You notice that's for you. That's a cheese. Nice. That's cheese on my hat, and it says Wisconsin. So that's for you.
You guys hear me?
Yeah, I got you.
Okay. Yeah. No, that's the plan right now. So my, it'll probably be my last little stretch here of fighting. I want to make it the best I can, and not a bad thing either to get away from all the snow all the time. So I'm looking forward to that.
Yeah, man. So what prompted that move?
It's just hard to be away from the family and do training camps, just financially. And I got a young guy, a little son at home, and it would just be a lot. If I fought 3 times a year, I'd essentially be gone for half the year in a training camp. And that's, active I like to stay. And it takes that much to have, the correct amount of time dedicated to be fully prepared for a UFC fight. So it was just, you know, I'm at a place in my career where financially I'm able to do that. And like, why not make the last stretch the best stretch and, you know, just go all in.
That's awesome, man. That must be tough. Gerald, you know, John and I were discussing your record off air, and it's crazy to talk about because, you know, you're 35-15. First of all, a ton of experience. All 35 wins are by finish, either mostly submissions. You got TKOs in there. Obviously, that's got to be a part of your strategy, but how do you prepare for that in training to have that type of end game where when you get to your spots, you're going to get that finish?
Yeah, I think just – to be clear, I think I have two decision wins, maybe.
Okay. Two. Okay. My bad.
Yeah. No, I don't want to be claiming something that I don't have.
Hey, but that's damn close, dude. 33. I mean, that's insane.
Yeah. No, I think anytime I'm training, obviously, you know, you never try to like knock out your partners, but maybe that's why I have so many finishes. You can submit them, you can do it safely. Right. And I do have some knockouts too in TKOs. And that's the thing where, it's not just like, oh, I'm throwing and I hope I hit them more than they hit me, or I'm going to get a good position and maybe something will work out. It's like I have a direct path in any given situation where I know if I get you to this spot, this is going to be what finishes the fight. And if the striking doesn't finish it, it's going to make you give me something where I'm going to be able to find a submission. And especially in MMA, guys have gotten a lot better about like not sticking their limbs out for no reason trying to defend strikes. So that leads me more to chokes. Oh, if I get to these spots and I see your neck open, I'm going to take it.
Do you know when your last decision win was, by the way?
Long time.
July 19th, 2013.
Oh, my God.
So almost 10 years ago in Duluth, Georgia versus now famed nutritionist George Lockhart.
Yeah.
Wow.
There you go.
Yeah, that's right. That was a fun, tough fight. And that was another one too, right? We both rocked each other a couple times and had chances to finish. But yeah, that was that's just a hard guy to put away.
Gerald Mershaw with us here on the Anakin Florian podcast. So Killcliff FC is the roof under which you train. What can you tell us about the South Florida training and who are the primary bodies and coaches that you've been leaning on?
It's a great gym. Obviously it's good enough to make me move there. All the guys, you know, they have so many big guys, especially compared to, you know, a lot of other gyms in general. Yeah. I've been working a lot with, Hung La, and, for coaches, you know, Greg Jones is always running a lot of grappling practices. I've been hitting a lot with Jason Strout and Henry Hooft, obviously. And, you know, there's just a wealth of knowledge and like bigger bodies there for me to go with. And it's just, you know, I feel like it's made all the difference.
Gerald Mershaw, 4-1 with four finishes since the fight with Khamzat Chimaev back in 2020. And anyone who has watched Bilal Muhammad's Remember the Show has heard how good you are analytically when you're talking about mixed martial arts. I'd imagine a student of the game like yourself would know at this point that Dustin Stoltzfus is a common opponent for you and Joe Pyfer. Any thoughts on that angle and ultimately the fight in front of you here in a few short days?
Yeah, I mean, there's probably some stuff I can take away from it. I feel like he's going to be a little bit different than he was when he fought Dustin, only because now he's got a couple wins under his belt. He's been in the UFC. He's getting a little more comfortable. So there's going to be a little bit of that rub on him too. But there's also spots where, you know, Dustin's got slicker grappling than I think he gets credit for. And even some of the times, like he reversed off bottom and, you know, came up for the takedown and all that stuff. There's, you know, certain things you can't change that dramatically, you know, even though it was a couple of years ago in that short amount of time, that's going to show itself in a fight.
Right.
So it helps in that way. But on the same hand, nothing really matters. So you get in there and you see what's going on because, you know, I have limited film on him, but I have more experience and he's got a lot of film on me. So, you know, it doesn't really matter until we get in there and mix it up.
All right. I got a few rapid fire questions with you on the way out. I know you keep your private life pretty private if your Instagram is any indication, but you are a father. Is his name Bronx Mershart?
Yes, sir.
I mean, what a fucking power name that is. You know, we've been pronouncing your name correctly from the moment we started calling your fights, but there are still people who drop a Mershart. Now, my name gets completely butchered, but I'm not a professional athlete, so I don't much care. To what extent do you care about people calling you Gerald Mershart versus Gerald Mershart?
Not that much. If you get close, you know, I'm used to it by now, but who's messing up John Anik?
Well, the most common one I get is Anik at the airport. It's always Mr. Anik, but I think it sounds more sophisticated. So I say, yes, I am Mr. Anik.
I was that little extra bit of tan in the dark beard. And they're like,
there you go. So how old is Bronx and how has that whole navigation been for you as a father / athlete?
He's going to be 2 pretty shortly here. And, it's been great. You know, it definitely keeps me busy. I'm sure I burn more calories during the day when I'm home, just running around chasing him and making sure he doesn't like destroy the house. But you know, it's all good things.
That's great. Well, the only thing I would recommend, and again, I shouldn't recommend it because I don't necessarily know your family situation nor your wife, but, if you have a second one, it's easier to raise 2 than 1. I have found. Than it is to raise 1. All right. So you'll be 36 years of age on December 18th. Saturday is going to be your 51st professional MMA fight. Now, I've heard you reference this as being the end. So, I mean, do you put it at 2, 3, 4 more fights? I mean, what does the end mean in your mind?
Oh, no, not the end. I mean, I'm just on like the last stretch. I feel like as healthy as I've been, you know, knock on wood through my entire career, I got another 4 or 5 good years left in me.
All right, good.
So yeah, and the big scale, like I've been fighting for 15, 16 years. I'm on the tail end of that.
Okay. All right. That makes me feel a little bit better because you mentioned it twice early on. And candidly, the way I had the question today was over under 60 MMA fights before you retire. And I think now if you look at the next 4 or 5 years, I think it's realistic for you to get to 60. But I tweaked the question because I didn't want to, you know, throw some outrageous number out there. But it sounds to me like you could get to 60.
Oh, yeah. Easily.
Just got to make quick work at Joe Pyfer this weekend. All right. Born and raised in Wisconsin. Outstanding sports fans up there, but I do know that a lot of martial artists, and I hate to generalize, they don't give a shit about the Green Bay Packers nor the Milwaukee Bucks. So right now you have the consensus best team in the NBA and the Packers have one of the greatest fan bases in professional sports. So do you have a favorite professional sports team and to what extent do you follow the Wisconsin teams?
I don't follow pro sports too much. Obviously, I definitely watched the Bucks when they were getting in the, you know, last couple of years. They've been in the play, even when they didn't win, they were getting really close as soon as they got Giannis. So that was like just a fun thing to watch and like see all the people getting so excited about it. And you know, when I grew up, I was kind of like brainwashed as a child. So growing up, I was a Cowboys fan.
Oh, wow.
In Wisconsin. When I was little, it was awesome, right? Because it was like the mid-90s when I'm in grade school. Obviously, lately, not as much. But I have had the privilege to meet like a few like former Packers players. I lived up in Green Bay for like a year. You know, great team, great city. Everybody was super nice. But yeah, I don't follow it too much. I have gone to a game, though. I've been, you know, I've been up there in the Lambeau Field and all that fun stuff. So, you know, I've the real Wisconsin experience in that sense also. And it's, you know, it's different. The fans up there, like there ain't much else to do, but you know, wrestle, fight, or drink and watch sports. So they're pretty passionate.
Well, I'm glad you said it and I didn't, because when I got to Milwaukee for a UFC event several years ago, yeah, I mean, there wasn't necessarily a whole lot. Not that for me, it's perfect. I just sit in my room and research fighters all day. Shout out to the Milwaukee Brewers, by the way, as well. Great fan base. All right. Last question. I know you got to go. Coldest memory for you weather wise growing up, born and raised in the state of Wisconsin, any near death experiences or just miserable moments either at Lambeau Field or otherwise?
Not too many. No real near death experiences. I do remember we had a pretty good blizzard. It was like right like 1999 or something like that. And we had to drive through it on Christmas. There was not, you know, maybe 4 or 5 years ago, we've been getting more of those polar vortexes that dip down from Canada and it'll be negative 40 for no reason, which is super, super fun. One fun thing I did do once, I remember when I was younger, we were living on the farm. We got puppies. Me and my brother, we each got a puppy and they were brother and sister. And we had a man-made pond on the property, the owners did. And they had the air pumping through it. If you ever see a man-made pond, generally they feed air into it so the fish can live and all that if you stock it. Well, the dogs ran out on the ice And my little guy, we called him Rio, he ran out there, slipped, and fell in the middle. So I had to crawl out onto the ice and, like, pull him out of there and take him back in the house. And I kind of, like, stripped halfway down because I knew if I fall in and I have too much clothes on, I'm going to, you know, it's going to be hard to get out. So luckily the ice didn't break on me and I pulled him out of there and got him in the house. My parents weren't too happy about it, but we were all
We're certainly glad. It's been an amazing MMA legacy. It continues this weekend for Gerald Mershart facing Joe Pyfer at UFC 287. You can watch it all play out live on ESPN Plus. GM3, have a great week. We'll let you get back to it. Thank you for your time. And we will see you at the Friday weigh-in, if not sooner, brother.
Hey, thank you guys. Good talking to you.
Good luck, man.
There he is. Bronx Mershart's dad, Gerald, fighting Joe Pyfer. Fighting B. Joe Pyfer this weekend. You know, Gerald he's derailed some hype trains in his career. And that is the motivation this weekend against Joe Pyfer. We'll see if these Rufus Sport guys can continue to fuck with Philadelphia, right? Bilal Muhammad against Sean Brady and now Joe Pyfer and Gerald Mershart. All right. That is going to do it for today, but certainly not this week. We're back better than ever with Brian Petrie on Wednesday or Thursday with a more comprehensive look at UFC 287. Thanks to Ray Longo. Thanks to Gerald Mershart. Don't forget AnnaFlorianPodcast.com for everything show related. KennyFlorianMartialArts.com is also live. One More Sleep merch from Miami can be found at millions.co. With that, for Ken Flo, I'm John Anik. Thank you all for watching, for listening. Tell your friends. Subscribe to the DraftKings YouTube channel. We thank you for it. We'll talk to you in about 72 hours. Until then, you're late. Now's a good time to remember where the story of tequila started. In 1795, the first tequila distillery was opened by the Cuervo family. And 229 years later, Cuervo is still going strong. Family owned from the start. Same family, same land. Now's a good time to enjoy Cuervo, the tequila that invented tequila. Go to Cuervo.com to shop tequila or visit a store near you. Cuervo, now's a good time.
Trademarks owned by Beckley SAB to CV 2024 Proximo Jersey City, New Jersey. Please drink responsibly.
The comfort of your favorite seat is now your comfy car selling command center, thanks to Carvana.
It doesn't get any better than this.
Your favorite seat's the best spot in the house. Make it even better by entering your license plate or VIN and getting a real offer in minutes.
There really is no place like home.
And speaking of home, Carvana will pick up your car from yours after you finalize your offer. Visit Carvana.com or download the app and sell your car from your comfy place.